Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair, brothers and sisters, for joining us for our Du'as from the Quran Ramadan series. This series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Penny Appeal has been committed to fighting poverty and need, and provided aid in the midst of emergencies, supported orphans, provided warm meals, and provided clean water to Muslim families around the world in Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here at home. Since 2016, Penny Appeal USA has helped over 1 million people in empowered communities around the world, helping to break the cycle of poverty and to build brighter futures for people. This Ramadan, they're continuing that, and they need the support of people like yourself, inshallah. So go over to PAUSA.org/Qalam, inshallah, and be a part of that change, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us as we are coming towards the end of our Ramadan Du'as from the Quran series. Throughout this month, we have been looking at various du'as from the Quran in order to learn how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the du'as that we have learned from Allah in the Quran. These are du'as that have been recited since the revelation, and du'as that we should learn and really make a part of our lives. These du'as help us also to understand the world. As we learn these du'as, we learn how to look at the world, how to understand the world from a prophetic and Quranic perspective. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be sharing a du'a with us, inshallah ta'ala. And this du'a, it can be found in Surah Mumtahina. This can be found in Surah Mumtahina, which is the 60th surah of the Quran. And the du'a begins on verse number 5. Begins on verse number 5. Actually, the du'a begins a little bit before that. We're going to actually look at verse number 4, and then we're going to look at verse number 5. Let's look at verse number 4 first and foremost. In verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Indeed, for you, for our nation, for me and you, there is an excellent example, an uswa hasana. A uswa hasana means a role model, someone to look up to, someone to model ourselves after. All of us need role models. We need role models because role models help us get through the difficult times in life. Role models help us understand how to persevere and how to strive and conquer the difficulties that we face. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he is our role model, undoubtedly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was giving his message, the difficulties were so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to provide him with role models as well. وكذلك نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and so we reveal to you and we recite to you, O Muhammad, the stories of previous prophets, ma nuthabbitu bihi fu'adaka, that which will give your heart strength, that which will give your heart strength. And so this verse is talking to the prophet, it's addressing the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and it's teaching us as well that we have to have role models, righteous, good role models that give us an example of how to persevere through difficulty. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we look at this dua. So in the beginning of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed for you, there is an example for all of us in Abraham and those who were with Abraham. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, when he said to his people, لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, indeed we are free from you and what you worship other than Allah. Here we find an important aspect of Abraham, which was disassociating himself with anything that was against the will of God, anything that was against worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to these people, I am free from you. I am not one of you. And that's very important. It's setting those lines in the sand saying, no, I'm not down with that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Min dunillah. Kafarna bikum wabada baynana wabaynakum al-adawa. We reject you. The enmity and hatred that has arisen between you and us will last until you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you come back to the right path. So what this is saying is, when people are doing wrong, when they're oppressing other people, when they're harming other people, that isn't the time to be buddy-buddy. That's the time to show animosity, to show anger. That is the time to say, you know what, until you don't stop the oppression and the wrong that you're doing against these people or whatever it may be, I am not with you. One second. So I am completely disassociated with that. And that's what Abraham is teaching us. He's teaching us that it's okay to have that anger and to voice that anger against people who are doing something against the will of God, who are oppressing, harming other people. And to say, no, until that isn't gone, you won't find that love. There will be animosity. There will be anger in my heart for that action that you're doing. إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَ لَكَ وَمَا أَمْرِكُ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Except for the statement of Abraham, there was one moment where Abraham, at the beginning, he said, my father has disbelieved, but I'm going to seek forgiveness for my father. I'm going to seek forgiveness for my father until Allah told him that he could not do that. So now we look at the dua. Our intention this evening and in this series is to look at duas, right? And so now we're going to look at a very important dua. And I think given the circumstances that we're seeing with our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Masjid Aqsa in Jerusalem, and we see the constant persecution that's happening and the constant oppression that's happening, ripping people from their homes and just horrible things that we're seeing happening. This dua is pretty interesting and very important for us to recite regularly. The dua is, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna. O Allah, upon you do we trust. Upon you do we trust. When we see things happening in our community, we feel powerless. We feel that we can't do anything, especially in global things, global matters. What can me, miskeen, sitting here in my house with my children here, and we're not super wealthy. We don't have much. What can I actually do? And alhamdulillah, our activists, our leaders will tell us, give us ideas of things we can do, who can we reach out to and things like that. But one of the things I want to focus on today, there are many things we have to do, right? But one of the things that we have to do is assure and reaffirm our connection and our certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by that, we read this dua, Rabbana alayka tawakkalna. O Allah, upon you do we trust. We have tawakkul upon you, Ya Allah. Wa ilayka anabana. And to you do we always return. Inaba. Inaba is where you run to, where you flee to, where you go back to. When things are tough, where do you go? Do you go back to Allah or do you go to the creation of Allah? We go back to Allah. Wa ilayka anabana wa ilayka al-masir. And to you is our final return. And that reminds us that, you know what? This world is just the temporary. This isn't what it's all about. This is the temporary. This is the passing. This is the fleeting. Wa ilayka al-masir. If you don't keep that in mind, a lot of what we're living through doesn't make sense. If you don't remember akhirah, if you don't remember that this life is short, those things, it becomes hard psychologically to process. It becomes hard to process the injustice that we see. It becomes hard to process that. And so we have to remember wa ilayka al-masir. Now we're going to look at the actual dua that I want us to recite. And I want us to know what it means. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladhina kafaru waghfir lana rabbana. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilladhina kafaru. The dua is, O Allah, do not make us a trial. Do not make us a trial. Imam Mujahid in Ibn Kathir, it's narrated. What does it mean, a trial? La tu'adhibuna bi'aydihim. Do not punish us through their hands. Subhanallah. Rabbana la taj'alna fitna lilladhina kafaru. Oh Allah, do not make us a trial. See, this dua is very interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests everyone. Every human being is being tested. We believe that in our aqidah. We know that this world is a test. We're getting through it. We want to prove our righteousness. But part of that test is that people are tested through one another. The rich are tested through the poor. Will they give? The poor are tested through the rich. Will you be patient? So everyone is tested through other people. That's the nature of the dunya. And so this dua says, do not make us the test for those who disbelieve. Meaning, don't make us the thing that you're testing them through. Will you be right, good to these people? Will you not be good to these people? La tu'adhibana bi'aydihim. Do not punish us through their hands. Ibn Kathir says something really deep here. And I want to digress into this for a bit. Ibn Kathir, he says, when these non-Muslims are punishing the believers so easily and doing with them as they will, they would say to themselves, لو كان هؤلاء على حق ما أصابهم هذا. If these Muslims were on the truth, then this wouldn't happen to them. See, we're on the truth. See, that punishment, that oppression which they're doing, that is becoming a fitna for them. It's becoming a test for them. The fact that you have power for some time, is that a sign that you're on the right path? No, by no means. That is by no means a sign of being correct. Allah giving dunya to people, whether it be power, whether it be wealth, whether it be acceptance, Allah giving this world to people is not a sign of His love and acceptance, and it is not a sign of people being on the right path. So Ibn Kathir says what it means, don't make us a fitna for these people, is that when they see how easy they're able to harm us, they say, oh, they can't be on the truth if we're able to do this. And that's a test for them. And so this dua is a very powerful dua, and I think it really fits the time that we're living in. We ask Allah to not put us through fitna. لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا. Rather, O Allah, we seek your forgiveness. We seek your forgiveness. And what that means is, see, this is an important concept that Muslims really have to really. This is a lesson you got to remember every day. Like every day of your life, you need to literally like have this written down on a sticky note and you remind yourself of this thing that I'm going to say next. We need to understand that the hardships that we face, they can either be punishments or they can be a means of our rank being elevated. Let me explain that. The prophets were tested, all of them. The Prophet ﷺ was rejected out of Ta'if. He was stoned. He was covered in blood. He was at the lowest point, like completely dejected and kicked out of every place. But was he beloved to Allah? Here's my question. Was the help of God with him while those stones were being thrown at him? When he collapsed in the vineyard outside of Ta'if, was the help of God with him at that time? Or when he was in prostration and the intestines of a camel were thrown on his back and people were laughing at him, I ask you, was he being helped by God? I think all of us will say, of course, the help of God was with him. Because we understand the big picture. We understand what will happen 13 years later. We understand we are able to look back, and hindsight is 20/20, as they say. So we're able to look back and say, no, it was all part of the plan. It was all part of the plan. And so if we can say that in that scenario, I think we need to take the same lesson and understand that the difficulties we face can either be punishment or they can be a means to elevate our position and rank. The Anbiya went through the most difficult punishments, difficulties, not punishments. The Anbiya went through the most difficult hardships. And why was that? It's because we have this idea, we have this concept that the Prophet teaches us, that when Allah loves a person, He tests them. He puts them through difficulties. And now you may say, wait, that scares me. I don't want to be in love with Allah then. Yo, I'm good. I'll pass. No, you misunderstand. When you fall in love with someone, see, when you love Allah, you'll love to do things for the sake of Allah. People watching you, they may say, man, how can you do that? But you're in love, you go, well, how could I not? Let me say that again. People on the outside looking in, how are you doing all that? How are you going through that? For you, it's how can I not do that? Because you're in love. You have love. And love pushes us to places we'd never expect to be. It allows us to do feats that would be humanly impossible in normal circumstances. But love pushes us. So don't think that, oh, I don't want hardship. If the Sheikh, you're telling me, yo, as I get closer to Allah, I'll have more and more hardship. You know what? I'll pass on that. You know, I'll pass on that. Uh-uh. That it's not going to be like that. First of all, life inherently has difficulties. Why not choose the difficulties that are for the sake of Allah and see the beauty in them as a means to get closer to Allah? So how do we distinguish? How do we know when we're being punished? And how do we know when we are being tested? Well, it's actually based on our response. Our response tells us a lot. If the calamity and difficulty pushes us away from God, then that's a punishment. And we need to do tawbah. We need to say, Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive me. I don't know what I did. It's something I don't know, Ya Allah, or I know, Ya Allah, I turn to you, forgive me. Because the fact that that hardship pushed you away means we got to do tawbah. We need to do some tawbah. We need to clean off the slate. You know, I remember talking to one scholar about difficulty I was having in trying to wake up for tahajjud. I had the habit, but then all of a sudden I couldn't do it anymore. And this scholar, he said, there must be a sin. Look for that sin. There must be something that you did that may be cutting you and disconnecting that the purity of that relation. Just look for it. And if you can't find it, just do tawbah for everything. And inshallah, it will open back up for you. So the first thing we have to do whenever calamities come, whenever calamities collectively come, we need to collectively do tawbah and get closer to Allah. Dhikr, Quran, ibadah. I know some says, oh, this is quietism. Oh, you know, you're not, we need to be active. We need, of course, we got to do all that, yo. I'm not saying we don't. But I'm saying at the core of being a Muslim is obedience to Allah. And maybe we are Muslim, but our actions, our spirituality is lacking, man. And that's what we need to up the game in. And so the first thing we need to do is turn to Allah. Now, if we are turned to Allah and the calamities are coming, then we have to be patient like the Anbiya. We have to say what the Prophet ﷺ said coming out of Ta'if. Ya Allah, if you are not angry with me, I don't care. I'll go through it. If you're not angry, I don't care. I love your afiyah. I love your afiyah. But if you're not angry, that's all that matters. I'll go through this. I'll go through this. But, and that brings me to the second thing. If we see the hardship is making us better Muslims, making us submit to Allah more, turn to Allah more, then what have you really lost? If you gain Allah, what did you lose? And if you lose Allah, what have you gained? Think about that. You gained a relationship with Allah. You gained closeness to Allah. What is this world? That is eternal. This is temporal. Please, please understand this. This is very important. If you gain a relationship and closeness to Allah, alhamdulillah. If the masajid are full, if our ibadah is on point, if our submission is on point, if we stop disobeying Allah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. And so this is something we need to reflect upon as we read this dua. The dua is, Rabbana la taja'alna. Oh Allah, do not make us a trial, a test for other people. Rather, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Innaka antal aziz. You are almighty. I will never lose sight of the fact that no army, no nations, no powers have power. You are the power of all powers. Innaka antal aziz. You are aziz. You are the almighty. Al-Hakim. And I don't understand it all. I don't get it all the time. But you are Hakim. You are all wise. And so we'll be patient with the calamities. We'll be patient with them, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this blessed month of Ramadan from us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah alleviate the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world. We turn to Allah. We beseech Allah. We beg Allah. We seek forgiveness for our sins. We seek forgiveness for wasting our time. We seek forgiveness for not obeying Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us afiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all, brothers and sisters. Love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to finish off this month of Ramadan strong with iman and with our sins forgiven, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.